A delegation of senior RTE executives were before the Oireachtas Media Committee at Leinster House today. Harry, explain who from RTE was there and what brought them back before the committee at this point?
The great and the good from RTE. All the chief bottle washers were there, including Kevin Backhurst and his senior management team, to explain how RTE has been doing in recent months. And for once, we had a non-combative appearance by RTE at an Oireachtas committee, and for once RTE had some good news to impart. They expect to have a surplus in 2025, they expect to have a surplus in 2026, and some of the programmes that RTE have introduced, or some of the processes that RTE has introduced to slim down the organisation, are in full train. So they talked about the voluntary redundancy programme and wastage, so they want to reduce the workforce by 400 over the next 5 years through a combination of voluntary redundancy and natural wastage. They said they've almost got 100, I think 95 this year, I think 65 through voluntary redundancy and another 35 through retirement. So they're proceeding apace, and that has led to considerable savings. But they're also talking about a lot of outsourcing. And when you look at what will be left of RTE, once all that has happened, we've already seen Fair City go. They're talking about the lottery going, which I think, you know, I'd be very agnostic about that. I don't think it's anything that's not going to win an Academy Award or a BAFTA prize or anything like that. I wouldn't be too worried about that. I think some of the
just to clarify, it's not the lotto going, it's just the lotto being outsourced. Everyone will still see it on telly. It's just not being filmed in studio, in-house, produced there.
Talking about religious programmes going, and perhaps the Late Late Show in the fullness of time. Mm-hmm. So when you look at RTE, what will be left will be a kind of a core organisation that does news, current affairs, sport, some factual programming, but a lot of the things that we associate RTE in terms of being a full service broadcaster will no longer be there. Actually, some of the questions were quite topical. The traitors came up on more than one occasion during it, and they basically they asked, did the traitors wash its face in terms of its commercial revenue? Kevin Backhurst thinks it probably did, but it's almost like a lost leader. It's something that really encouraged...
brings in the audience.
Yeah, an audience to come in. And that was a huge success for RTE. So, I mean...
But also shows the cost of putting on the likes of the traitors and what these programmes cost, but then they pull it back in terms of what the content gives them.
Yeah, I mean, we know. I mean, the production values were extraordinarily high. I mean, they had to do it in a castle. They had to have, you know... very, very specific requirements that came from the production company in Holland that originated the series. But they did a really, really good job, including all of Siobhan McSweeney's extraordinary costume changes throughout the five or six.
And loads of cross-station promos and all the rest.
But
it did
well.
So well.
They
it did do so well.
Yep.
But let's move on, I suppose, from the traitors and talk about the core interest and what Kevin Backhurst was stating was, you know, his intention to make the broadcaster a leaner organisation as it tries to cut costs, but to maintain and protect the very core, the issue of news and current affairs and sport being quite critical. Were you encouraged by what you heard, Alison, today?
Not deeply. We all knew that they had to trim the fat, and that's not going to be an easy challenge.
And when you, I mean, explain what you mean by that.
Well, the last couple of times the committee was, or they were before the committee, they were talking about excess spending, etc. So now they're looking, the last couple of times have been, how can we save costs? Mm-hmm. And we've spoken about the challenges of redundancies. And I think that is going to be a serious challenge. I don't think the uptake is going to be as easy. They're looking for 400 redundancies, and I don't think that is going to be as easy, easily done. And it is one of the major parts of their cost-saving measures.
So we are due, just to clarify on the headcount, there's 95, and I think Harry mentioned it there, so far, but maybe a further update by year end on final numbers, taking it up this year. Are you saying, given that this is over a 5 year plan and it's 400 people, that while you might reach the numbers this year, it's going to be more difficult down the line?
Absolutely, because it's only a finite number that you're trying to trim anyway. Not all roles can be cut, and core areas are going to have to be saved, and we have to keep an eye on quality as well because of all that. To keep producing quality content without it all being outsourced, you're going to need the staff to do that. And I think that we spoke about challenges only last week as well, I had a separate meeting with Kevin Backhurst. It was one of the pre-planned ones. And we spoke about it again today, that it is quite difficult. There are challenges in getting people to leave the organisation. And a lot of people have applied for it who simply cannot go. They're either management or their core positions. And then there are some who have dipped their toe in the water to investigate what they get, but they're not going to accept it. So unless there's going to be compulsory redundancies down the line, which Mr. Backhurst said today there would not be, then they are looking at voluntary, and it is going to be a very long and slow process. It's not going to be a main core part of saving funds.
But the issue of outsourcing was also very much to the front and centre today, Joanna. I mean, from what you heard from Kevin Backhurst on that, plans for further outsourcing, Fair City confirmed, as much as confirmed, the Lotto as well, and then, you know, talk of the Late Late Show as well being outsourced. I mean, do you think that this will deliver for the audience and politically, I suppose, what is required? And does it change what the public service broadcaster looks like?
Essentially, it may. The devil will be in the detail of that as we move through it. But, you know, I started off my questioning of Kevin Backhurst, asking him in particular about documentaries, that they had completely cut the documentary section. And, you know, he moved from that into the religious settings and then the Lotto. The Lotto one blew me away. I wouldn't have thought it would have cost a huge amount of money, as he described it, as to produce the Lotto. But I suppose when you tease it out with him a little bit, his answers to it were, you know, we're here to cut costs. We're looking at what is our biggest outlay of costs. Over 50% of our costs is on staff. So this is where the voluntary exit scheme has arisen from, and how they're moving through that. And Alison has referenced that is going to get more difficult as time goes on, because your initial uptake is one thing. But then as you move into rolling that out further, maybe the excess people have already gone, and then it becomes harder because anybody who's left is crucial to continue production, and it gets harder then to kind of suppress the roles as they move on. But when you look at the documentaries, I didn't actually realise that RTE had only produced 9 hours of documentaries this year, which was a startling fact for me. And at the moment, they've already got agreement.
Do you think they should be producing more?
I would have thought they would have been. 9 hours seemed incredibly low to me. That kind of struck me a little. And already with the outsourcing they're moving into, they've got 75 hours pre-produced, and some of these are rolling out in the spring, really high content. But that's what's going to have to be the balance. While they address legacy issues on governance and on cost, they have to remain the balance of keeping high production, high quality, big quantities, and whether that can be maintained or not will factor in how the public sector will retain.
I agree, and I just hope it doesn't lose the brave broadcasting, which has happened over the years, the likes of the investigations, the prime time, etc.
Well, because this was the question, and the question was put as well, I think, because of concerns, and we got a report from a group of academics talking about the concern that RTE could be hollowed out by all these changes in order to cut costs, and what the minister, Patrick O'Donovan, called rationalising. Where does that leave the broadcaster? I mean, is it in danger of, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater here, Paul, with all these changes, ambition to cut staff to the level that they have envisaged within the strategy, that it could well, apart from being quite difficult to achieve, it could also backfire in terms of staying as relevant to an audience and staying an important and, you know, what many would say, an integral part of the media landscape?
Yeah, well firstly, I agree in terms of what you said there in relation to it appears they may struggle if this is only going to be voluntary redundancies. And, you know, I looked at the top earners in RTE who are still earning very significant salaries. I have a list here in front of me. Over the top 10 earners are all well over €200,000, and I think, you know, that is crucially important that we cut that fat. That has not actually happened, and I'm sure there are many people in RTE at the bottom of the pay scale wondering why this is not happening. But in terms of the outsourcing and the new model, I actually think that RTE was created at a different time, at a time before social media, at a time before Netflix and Amazon. And public service broadcasting is going to look different in the future. Mm-hmm. Of that, there is no doubt. I mean,
it certainly has to appeal to that younger audience that are now getting their news. And it's not even a younger audience, but increasingly that people are turning to social media in order to get their news and information. So that the resources have to be put on a more digital platform, which is part of the strategy as well.
I think there is a need to consider a restructuring of RTE in terms of the public service broadcasting and the commercial arm of RTE. For example, like we talk about the traders and so on, is that necessary in terms of public broadcasting? Could that be? Could it be separated in terms of the news, sport, current affairs, etc., and then separate the commercial arm as well? Because you know the structuring is going to need to be looked at in relation to this, and I think that it is going to form part of the discussions in the future.
Harry, it's interesting because RTE produced the strategy. This was a very non-confrontational, you could say, meeting before the Oireachtas committee today. But, you know, from just discussing with the panel here today, there's still a lot of questions out there about, I suppose, the viability of the strategy and what RTE should be delivering now for the public and for the audience and its place.
Yeah, well, I mean, it boils down fundamentally and essentially to choices. So, I mean, the public and politicians and the government must decide what kind of RTE you want. And if you want a broadcaster that's producing high-end documentary at a higher rate, you know, you're going to have to come up and pay the money for that. I mean, a good documentary will cost hundreds of thousands of euro per hour to produce. So if you're producing that at volume, you're talking about a big wad of money that's going to go into that annually. So you're going to have to say, well, is the taxpayer willing to pay that? I mean, one of the things, I wrote a story about it a couple of weeks ago, that is definitely a deficit and should be addressed, is the licence issue. You know, the licences and RTE, after the whole Tubridy debacle, the licence collection in RTE fell off a cliff and it has never really recovered since. And the number of licences that are purchased every year continues to fall. Now, there was a debate within the government and within politics about what's the best means of collecting revenue for RTE. I myself would favour some kind of an obligatory fund that would be collected by the revenue commissioners.
There was a big debate about this, wasn't there, Harry? Like I'm thinking back to all of this because the decision on how they were going to manage the licence fee, it was being teased out, and in the end, nothing changed.
No, they essentially decided against. And the current system is unsatisfactory. Taking aside from the collection and the fact that there's evasion rates of over 30%, maybe 35% at present, you know, if you don't have a television set but look at RTE through a computer or on a different type of screen, you have no obligation to pay a license. So only those who have TV sets are obliged to pay licenses. With changing technology and the different ways that people are accessing platforms now, I just don't think that really is fit for purpose anymore, and that really needs to be reviewed. Yeah. And that might be one.
And do you know, the criticism
the
at the time around that was that it was politically untenable to have, you know, revenue collect and it to be automatic. This idea was that, you know, the public wouldn't like that at all, Alison. I mean, has that decision been made now, or do you think it could be revisited?
I think it probably should be revisited. There's no question. You just simply can't get all of your content for free. It just doesn't work that way. And then yet that message seems to be the one that's out there at the moment. We do know that the TV licence, as it's called, I mean, even calling it a TV licence sounds so archaic. People don't have televisions. Why should you have a licence for something that you don't have? Even calling it a broadcast licence was a little bit confusing. So there has to be some sort of means to allow the likes of public service broadcasting to continue at quality that still has to be paid for, that doesn't all come from government funding.
Huge amounts of money for the private services. From Sky Sports to Sky Movies to Netflix to Disney to all of that.
All right, but is there likely to be pushback to that? Should the current model change?
That's an interesting debate, and it's something we debated quite a lot in the committee in recent months during the Broadcast Amendment Bill and the pre-leg scrutiny and that. And one of the recommendations of the committee to the minister was actually to introduce a content levy. And if you introduced a content levy, you would support the audiovisual sector, the independent sector. And the independent sector is actually now picking up the outsourcing of the documentaries and the religious services. And that is something that the minister was very staunch in his opposition to that. And that's his prerogative to do so. But it may, if we're now looking at a change in the narrative of what our public sector broadcaster looks like, this is something that may have to be revisited going forward.
Absolutely, and I think the idea of the levy is probably something that could be looked at. Yeah. Maybe that not exact model, but something
very similar.
Just to go back to what we had, you know, media academics talking about today, and a concern that could be out there in the age that we are living in, Paul, on the future of public service media and what that actually looks like. The statement from that group saying hollowing out public service media actually harms democracy and why Ireland must protect RTE. But if we have a minister, Patrick O'Donovan, talking about rationalising, we talked there about slimming down, about getting those redundancies that are so necessary, you know, isn't there a balance that needs to be struck there while protecting the public purse, but also ensuring that we have informative quality broadcasting?
I think there is. I think you're absolutely right. What we had in the Tuberty era was not protecting the taxpayer, however. So it is crucially important that we get that balance right. And that is why I think there is a need to slim down RTE. I think I agree with the minister in terms of it needs to be more agile and a leaner process. And that is why I think we should consider the restructuring where we identify very clearly what is considered public service broadcasting.
But isn't that happening right now when they're outsourcing what arguably is not being considered core to public service broadcasting, but maintaining news, current affairs and sport
indeed,
in-house?
Indeed, but the question then is how is that aspect of RT programming that may not be considered essential public service broadcasting as others. And that's the point I'm making, is I think we need a very government and opposition need to work together to identify very clearly what is in the public good, how do we slim
it
down.
Well, what's not in the public good right now?
For example, I think sport is very important culturally, socially for the country. I think news and current affairs is very important. I think RTE do some incredible programming around Nationwide and EcoY and things like that in terms of social history as well for the country. So those types of things,
and what
I think is really, really crucially
sounds
important.
Sounds like you want to suck all the fun out of it. Where's the, talking about entertainment?
The point here is this, like there are many people who get their fun from Netflix and Amazon and so on. So those people, I don't think should necessarily have to pay twice. Pay their Netflix, pay their Amazon and pay for RTE that potentially they're
but
not
But Harry mentioned there about documentaries and other programming that doesn't fall under the strict news and current affairs, but is informative and is also important, as well as being crucially, I suppose, for an audience, entertaining.
Yeah, but the truth is, and I think maybe we're not at this point in the political agenda yet, but RTE is actually not competing with the likes of Netflix and Amazon in relation to entertainment. And like the question is, how do we actually protect taxpayer, protect the funds, but also protect public service broadcasting? And that is, I think, the important point that we need to make.
So
that
you're
distinction.
Saying get your fun elsewhere.
Well, the government have already moved in this direction, in terms of a leaner, more agile RTE.
It depends on how you define what is public service broadcasting. And like, for example, I would say the Today Show with Daithí Amuara would I consider that to be public service broadcasting. Programme where people, Gogglebox, that's public, I mean it's commercial, but that's public service as well, because you're talking about lifestyle and fashion, all the Home of the Year, the Dermot Bannon programmes, all of the lifestyle programmes. They're not strictly current affairs, they're not strictly news, but they tell us a lot about our society and they reflect our society, and I'd almost put them within the ambit of public sector broadcasting as well, including documentaries and including, you know, Irish-produced drama. You know, I mean,
which RTE are very good at.
And RTE are very, very good at.
Yeah, and so, I agree. It's like the cookery shows, the travel shows.
It goes down to choices, you know. And I mean, I know people get obsessed with the salaries of the biggest stars, but I mean, the I think that's slightly tangential issue. I think the real money goes into making good television. And I think that there is a case, once RTE is clear of its current difficulties, there is a case to be made that RTE should be getting investment to invest in that kind of thing. I don't think people would have any difficulty with that, especially when you compare it to what people pay for private commercial broadcasters and platforms.
Investment is actually key to the subject here, because the justification for outsourcing the religious services, for example, today from Mr. Backhurst was the streaming of mass has been the same on RTE for decades. And perhaps if we go out and we outsource that, it can be changed up and it can be enhanced and evolved. You could have live streaming of religious services from different chapels right around the nation, where people will feel more connectivity to their community with what's being broadcast. So if RTE don't have the money to be at the table in regards to how this high quality production can continue but can evolve, then perhaps outsourcing may be
absolutely
a solution.
And if
to
you
this
can't compete
way.
With the big guys, collaborate with them and maybe use more collaborative programming with the likes of Netflix, with the likes of Disney Plus. It's great when you see Irish programmes on those platforms. Let's make it the other way around.
And if you didn't know, if you weren't listening to the contribution of committee today, you might necessarily never have known that the Lotto is to be outsourced, because it's still going to be produced and shown from the RTE studios. It's just going to be costed and funded by the independent sector that's going to take it on. So you might not necessarily see a huge change on your TV screens. It's how it's been managed and the oversight of it in the background.
And I just say, I mean, Paul is right. I mean, you're looking at a far more complicated broadcasting and media landscape now than we were 20 years ago. So, you like, for example, there are programmes that are produced by Virgin Media, by TG Cahir, by other broadcasters that would also fit in to that public service remit. And then you see what were newspapers but are now media organisations making encroachments, first of all, into audio and into podcasts, and now moving into video as well. So you're going to see much more of a kind of a bigger kind of Venn diagram kind of overlap between a lot of organisations in coming years. And that's why I think the argument that that was being made in relation to a kind of a broadcast levy or a kind of an online levy, I think is a good one in terms of looking at, you know, 10, 15 years, 20 years hence.
And broadening funding across the board in order to support a diverse range of media. OK, there we're going to take a break.